Ephesians chapter 5 is where we want to take our thought from. We'll read these verses. I'll make a few opening comments, and then it'll take me a little while to get back to the scripture, but follow along with us best you can today. I want to deal with the subject today. I don't know how to title what we want to deal with, but we're dealing something along the line of the spirit of Halloween. And I've had several ask me over the last, since September, has come and asked me about Halloween. Preacher, do you and your family practice Halloween? You celebrate Halloween? Where do you stand on Halloween? And so I'll tell you straight up from the get-go, we ain't for Halloween. We don't celebrate Halloween. My youngins don't dress like witches and goblins and vampires and zombies and go out and trick-or-treat. And what I want to do this morning, I want to take some scripture, and really at the end of the day, we got to have Bible convictions and Bible principles for what we do. And I believe I can prove to you from scripture as we understand. I am aware that how Halloween is practiced and celebrated in our day in America, that really most people don't have the religious aspect of it in mind. To many people, it's just a big candy time and dress up time and party time. But we got to understand that behind it all, whether we realize it or not, our culture is practicing something that is very satanic, very spiritual, and very religious. And I'll show that to you today from history and from the Word of God. Let's look in Ephesians 5, and in verse number, let's begin reading in verse number 3. Y'all pray, I've got a lot to give you. I got hours and hours and hours of stuff to give to you today. But hang with me, and don't turn me off from the get-go, okay? Hear me out, and then you make up your mind. You can do what you want to do. If you want to practice it, everybody's entitled to be wrong, okay? So you can make up your own mind about it, and I love y'all the same. Verse 3, but fornication, and notice this next phrase, and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh, watch this word, saints. That is, he's writing to save people. He's writing to people that have been sinners, living in all sorts of uncleanness and idolatry and wickedness and witchcraft and immorality. He said, but now you have been made saints. You've been changed by the very power of the gospel. He said, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Look in verse 7, plainly Paul said, be not ye therefore partakers with them. They're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. They're wicked. They're living in sin. And he said, you need to make sure you've drawn lines of distinction between you and the immoral, idolatrous, wicked, sinful, unclean practices that the world is engaged in. Now, verses 8 through 11 is where in the end of the lesson this morning we'll take our thoughts from. But he said, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. The subject Halloween is to many really a touchy issue in America, in the culture that we live in. And as a church, sometimes we've got to make stands against things that are culturally acceptable, but violate biblical principles, and sometimes got to cry loud, and people get their feelings hurt because it's something that they enjoy or something they've adhered to or something their parents and grandparents let them do. And to say that it's wrong is to say mom and dad and grandma and grandpa was wrong. It really don't matter what mom and daddy raised us to believe. I've grown up am matured enough that I can look back and look at my parents and see areas where they were right and wrong, and accept their frailties as human beings to be wrong in areas. Same with my grandparents. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, you're wise to examine your life and the way you're going to live in light of the Word of God. What I want to do, first of all, this morning, if you want to take notes, and I guess maybe I should have had some outlines for you to fill in as we go. And if you want the notes that I have, we'll get them typed up for you. And you can study this. Everything I give you this morning, you can do simple internet Google searches and verify everything I'm going to give you this morning. I want to deal with number one, the origination of Halloween. The origination of Halloween. Has it always been practiced like it's been today? Well, what I want to say this morning is absolutely not. What you're going to find when you begin to study out Halloween and the roots of it, at Halloween, the practice of it, maybe not by the term Halloween, but certainly the practices that have been going on, even in our day, have been going on for over 2,000 years. Let me consider this in the origination of Halloween. First of all, it's Celtic roots. It's Celtic roots. The Celtic people were made up of the Britons, the Gauls, the Scots, and the Irish. And you'll find as you study their culture, they had a religious priest culture class of people. It was known as the Druids. The Druids were very pagan in their worship. They were not Bible believers. They did not adhere to Jehovah God. And they even have their roots predating even the birth of Christ, and obviously predating that of Christianity as you and I know it. When you begin to study them, you'll find that the Celtic and Druid ceremonies, and they practice ceremonies as a religious pagan class of people. They practice ceremonies that evolved around certain dates on the calendar. And I'm just throwing this out. I want to get to the one that we want to deal with today. But Candlemas, I guess I'm saying that right, was practiced and celebrated on February 2nd. They had a festival and a celebration known as May Eve, which took place, of course, on April the 30th. And then you have Lammas or Lammas, which was celebrated on August the 1st. And then the last of their festivities, festivals, celebrations, and ceremonies evolved around what we know today as Halloween. We'll see in just a moment. It was actually the festival Samhain, celebration and festivities of the Lord of Death. And that was celebrated, of course, on October 31st, 2,000 years ago. And can I say it's no coincidence that the celebration of Halloween in our culture falls on October 31st. As we consider this, Julius Caesar, predating, of course, the birth of Christ, you know, even according to the Gospels, that Rome and the Roman Empire was rampant when Christ was born. And Julius Caesar, as he went into the Gaelic nations, here's what he had to say about the Druid people that he conquered. He said, "All Gaelic nations are much given to superstition. They either offer up men as victims to the gods or make a vow to sacrifice themselves. The Druids," this is what Caesar said over 2,000 years ago, "the Druids hold that the wrath of the immortal gods can only be appeased and man's life redeemed by offering up human sacrifice, and it is part of their national institutions to hold fixed ceremonies for this purpose." And then in those fixed ceremonies is related the very dates, and I give you just a moment ago, surrounding February the 2nd, April the 30th, August the 1st, and of course October the 31st, that being the festival to sow in what we know as modern day Halloween. And I'll show you in just a moment how that term Halloween was transferred from this religious ceremony. But Caesar, when he went in and he conquered the Druid people, what he's saying in this quote is that they weren't just common people. These were very religious people. They were very superstitious people, and they worshiped and celebrated immortal gods, entities that they referred to as gods. One thing you'll find that's interesting when you study the Celtic people in relation to the Druid class of people, the religious priests of class of people in their day, that they derive many of their own ceremonies and customs from ancient Baal festivals. You're familiar with the term Baal festivals over and over in the Old Testament. God had to deal with the nation of Israel and the people of God because they were falling prey to trying to incorporate Baal worship in with the worship of Jehovah. Y'all remember all the many times in the Word of God that God dealt with the nation of Israel and the people of God over their connection to the god Baal, the sun god. And when you begin to study that, here's what you're going to find over and over and over. God said, have no association with Baal. Quit worshiping with Baal. Quit trying to integrate your worship of Jehovah with that of Baal. And it goes back beyond even the Druids, as they derived their practices and their ceremonies, and their worship was derived even from the Baal worship of the Old Testament, that we could take an hour this morning and study scriptures from the prophets, specifically Jeremiah, where God through Jeremiah said, stop worshiping Baal and being a part of those ceremonies. And so, and God, by the way, has never changed his mind on that. There is something about God Jehovah, the God of the Bible, the God that saved you and saved me and sent his son to die. He despises anything associated with Baal. He's never lifted that ban. He's never given his people permission to be a part of that kind of ceremony or those kind of festivities. And so we find that this religious holiday celebrated by the Celtic people, specifically that of Druids, who were nothing more than witches, and they would practice these things derived out of Baal worship. Now let me make this statement. I'll elaborate on some of this more in a moment, but the American celebration of Halloween is rooted in Scottish and Irish folk customs and can be traced to pre-Christian times. These go before the book of Acts. These predate even the birth of Christ. When we consider this, these Druids that was under their cultures, the religious class of priests in their culture, the Druids held a festival each year. Again, on October the 31st, they held a festival in honor of Samhain. If you look it up, it ain't spelled Samhain. It's spelled S-A-N-H-A-I-N. You'll find other variations of that spelling, but it's pronounced Samhain. He is considered to be the Lord of Death, and they would hold this festival in honor of Samhain on October 31st because they considered November 1st to be the day of death. The Lord of Death, the god Samhain that they celebrated in this festival, you would, if we was to depict him today in our culture, he would be the picture of a famous Halloween icon known as the Grim Reaper. The Grim Reaper is considered to be the Lord of Death. And can I say, there's no accident that around the Halloween time, you see the Grim Reaper. He was the characterization of what the Druids celebrated over 2,000 years ago to be the Lord of Death. They believed that on November the 1st, Samhain would gather in all the souls that had died, all the spirits of humanity that had died in the previous year, and that he would unleash them on November the 1st, or rather on October the 31st, he would unleash them upon the humanity. He would release them to go back to their houses and to torture and persecute those that dwelled in those homes, in those houses. That's what the Druids believe. I'm not telling you that's what I believe. That's what the Druids believe, that these evil spirits would be sent back from the in-between world, and there they would create havoc among those that lived in their homes and houses. It was on October 31st And these spirits were permitted to return back to their homes to visit the living. Besides human and animal sacrifices, in connection with this, what the Druids believed was that they would have to offer sacrifice so as to stay away and appease the god Samhain and the evil spirits he was sending back to torture and persecute and even kill those that was left alive from the previous year, that they would offer these sacrifices to try to appease that god. Now, in connection beyond just the animal sacrifices, and by the way, that still goes on in our culture in America in 2014, there are both animal and human sacrifices that are offered in connection to these very things in relation to the god Samhain, the festival to Samhain, in honor of Samhain, the Lord of Death. And beyond the human sacrifice and the animal sacrifice and trying to appease the this god, the Lord of Death, there were several other things that over time began to spring up among the Druids. And as I studied, I found was very interesting. From this sprang what we would call the origin of costumes. What the Druids would literally do, they would dress in animal heads and skins and would go house to house singing and dancing in an attempt to frighten away the evil spirits sent back from the Lord of Death. They would literally go house to house dressed up like animals, dressed up like the evil spirits to blend in and to frighten them away. Is it a coincidence, and I'm asking you an honest question, is it a coincidence that on October 31st that pagans, heathens, spirit worshipers, worshipers of pagan entities as gods would run around in costumes house to house? Is it any coincidence that goes on in America on the same day, the same night, the same time of year? My answer would be absolutely not. What is practiced in America as just a commercial holiday has deep-rooted religious overtones, whether you practice it that way or not. The origin of costumes came from the Druids. You see, they believed that Samhain would order evil spirits to attack people on November the 1st, and the Druids taught the people that the only way they would escape was to disguise themselves to look like the evil spirits sent to trouble them. They were trying to blend in with the spirit world. They believed if they disguised themselves, that the spirits would just think they was another spirit and would be left alone. That was one that, and you can study all this out for yourself, but that was one of the things that sprang from the Druid teaching in honor of the festival to Samhain. The other thing that sprang from that, not only costumes, but and here's a term that and I don't want to upset nobody this morning, to be honest, but you've all heard of the term. Even in recent days, it's plastered on many houses. It's in a lot of stores. It's in a lot of restaurants. It's on TV. The term trick-or-treat. Where did the term trick-or-treat come from? There's a lot of different things and different ways throughout human history that it's been practiced. But the earliest that I can find where it originated was under the Celtic roots of what we're calling Halloween or Samhain, and I'll show you how we've got there. But in another attempt to appease the evil spirits, the Druids taught the Celtic people to set out a treat of food and fruit for the evil spirits sent to trouble that home. They believed that if the evil spirit seen that gift, seen that treat, that evil spirit, if he was pleased with it and accepted it, and it was a good enough offering to that evil spirit, that evil spirit would not in turn trick those in that house by casting a spell upon them and thus tricking them. And so the term was derived, trick or treat. Is it any wonder that 2,000 years ago they had this term, not necessarily maybe by that, but they used the same principle of we're going to put out a treat so that evil spirits will not trick us and curse us and deceive us and trouble our home. The term trick or treat, I would again argue to you that the term trick or treat is no coincidence that it's used on the same evening today as it was over 2,000 years ago. Everybody okay? Say amen. If a house refused to put out a tree, or come up short in this offering, the Druids literally would begin to dress up again in these animal skins and in these animal heads, and they would literally come around and acting as if they were the evil spirits collecting offerings for their Lord of Death, the god Samhain, in honor of him and the festival they was holding to him. And they would carry around with them a sort of a cane looking. Y'all have seen leprechauns depicted in our culture. They've got kind of a staff looking or a cane looking object that they walk around with. The Druids would walk around with that. It was known as a fairy's wand. It was known as a poker, and on the end of that was a sharp object that was attached to that, and anybody that refused to set out an offering to sow in or they come up short, the Druids would literally castrate the man of the house because he did not offer a sacrifice to the Lord of Death. I'm telling you, trick-or-treat is not I understand in our culture we don't see it as that way, but behind what is being practiced in our day, it has been derived from the trick-or-treat, the Celtic roots, the Druid class of people that said, you'll give us and give to the god Samhain, who, by the way, is nothing more than a depiction of Satan himself and the spirits of hell, and if you don't give sacrifice to them, we're going to bring some misfortune to you at your pay for not offering this god. And so you've got costumes that were derived, trick-or-treat was derived over 2,000 years ago under the Druid culture, the Celtic culture, and the Druid class of people. Well, here's something else that was derived years later from the Celtic people, and that is the jack-o'-lantern. You see that everywhere you go. Somebody's carved a face in a pumpkin, or you see something represented in Walmart and other places, and we know that as a jack-o'-lantern. World Book Encyclopedia, back in the 1977, if the date is right, in my mind, said this: the apparently harmless lighted pumpkin face of jack-o'-lantern is an ancient symbol of a damned soul. That is not, listen, that's not some radical, fundamental, red-headed Baptist, old-fashioned Baptist, King James Bible preacher that said that. That is the World Book Encyclopedia, 1977, says what looks like an apparently harmless face carved into a pumpkin, behind it in the ancient days of the Druids, is nothing more than a picture of a damned soul. And I want to say this, we ought to have no part of that as children of God. We better understand where it came from, and there'll be moms and dads and grandparents that'll gather around in kitchens over the next few weeks, and they'll start carving faces if they ain't already done it already, and they'll set them out and set candles in them. Listen, it looks harmless. It looks like it's something that, man, it's just people having fun, good family time. But behind it, and as even as early ago as 1977, it ain't that long ago, that's 37 years ago, they said it depicts the damned souls, literally, that was caught between heaven and hell. Listen to this. In my studies, I found this. It actually, jack-o'-lantern, the term jack-o'-lantern is named for an old legend of a man by the name of Jack who could not enter heaven or hell and was doomed to wander the earth. He was caught in an in-between place. He couldn't go to heaven. He couldn't go to hell. And he was made to walk around with a gourd with a hole cut out of it and a light set in it, and that's how he made his way, stuck between heaven and hell. People began, after this legend began to be spread, people began to hollow out pumpkins and even turnips, placing candles inside to scare away evil spirits from their home. When the Druids practiced this, what they literally believe, that there was people that had died through the year that they didn't go to heaven, they didn't go to hell, and Brother Gerald, they would set these carvings out with the lights in around their homes, and they believed that in doing so, they were warding off evil spirits that would not attack their home and trick them and bring curses upon them and trouble them in that night of October the 31st. Is it any wonder that on the same night, 2,000 years later, that practice is part of the celebration of Halloween is still taking place in our day? You say, "Oh, preacher, you're just going too far. It's innocent." It wasn't innocent to the Druids, and it wasn't innocent in the days of the Celtic people. This is where this matter of Halloween began to arise from. And let me deal with this. We see the Celtic roots. I've got to hurry. I got hours and hours and hours I could teach you. Hang with me. I want to get back to Scripture. Not only its Celtic roots, but its Catholic influence. It's Catholic influence. Here's the problem you're going to have when you go to study. And it kind of threw me for a loop years ago when I sat down and began to study this, is that if you do an internet search, you're going to find things that pop up that say that Halloween is actually, and here's the term they use, is actually a Christian holiday. Nothing could be further from the truth. It's a lie of Satan, and it's a lie of hell to disguise, to get God's children involved in something that has deep religious and satanic overtones behind the scene. Now, what the world and different people that have wrote Wikipedia, in fact, classifies it as, and gives some history behind it, that some look at it as a Christian holiday. Here's what you'll find. Don't get mad at me now, but when you begin to study what they mean by Christian holiday, really they ought to say a Catholic church holiday, and Catholics are not Christians. Can I get a witness? Catholics are not Christians. There's nothing Christian about Catholics. And we won't get in the whole background about the Catholic Church, but we're not one and the same. We don't bow to the Pope. We don't kiss the priest's hand. Amen. We don't bow down and kiss his ring. We don't go, amen. We have one mediator between us and God, and that is the man Christ Jesus. And so I'm always leery whenever I hear that the Catholic Church is promoting something. My spiritual ears automatically, amen, become attentive. I want to know why in the world is the Catholic Church, because they have fallen on the wrong side of biblical stands for nearly, amen, 1,500 years now. And so consider this with me. The Catholic influence here. Let me find the statement I want to make here. In an attempt to Christianize this pagan worship day known as the Druids' Holiday, listen, known as the Druids' Holiday Festival in honor to Samhain, the Lord of Death, here's what the Catholic Church did years and years later. In fact, it was in 835 A.D. that Pope Gregory, I believe it was Pope Gregory IV, actually had the Catholic Church move what it called All Saints Day to November 1st. It was a celebration that, if my memory serves me correct, was practiced prior to that in the month of May. But what they found is they sent their Catholic missionaries out when they began to reach into the Celtic people and the Gaelic nations. They had a problem. They was running into these Druid people that were deeply pagan and were not receiving their Catholic doctrine. They were not embracing the Catholic Church. And like the Catholic Church does everywhere that it goes, it began to adapt to the culture that they were trying to reach. And so what they did in an attempt to bring all these people together under the banner of Catholicism, they said, what we'll do, they're celebrating the Day of the Dead on November the 1st. We've got our own festival known as All Saints Day, which, by the way, in and of itself was a wicked celebration. All Saints Day is the day the Catholics gather and they make prayers for the dead, for that crowd. Listen to the crowd that had died, that is in the in-between stage. They're not in heaven. They're not in hell. They make prayer to the saints that have made it to heaven, and they're making prayers for those that have not yet attained heaven, and eventually they'll make it in. That is so anti-biblical, it ain't even funny. Their very own practice of All Saints Day was wicked in itself. So what did they do? They said, what we'll do to adapt to the Gaelic nations in this practice of the festival of sowing, we'll move our day of All Saints Day to their day of the dead and celebration of the Lord of Death to November 1st, which was known, eventually became known on November 1st as All Saints Day, thus making October 31st referenced and called as All Hallows Eve. That's what they called it. And they just joined in the Druid celebration, the Celtic celebration, and brought their Catholic traditions in and began to mingle it, and they called it All Hallows Eve, which eventually became known as Halloween. Are you listening? It's got no Christian roots. It has Catholic roots that the Catholics mingled it with the pagan forms of the festival to sow in. Now consider this with me. The purpose of these feasts that would be celebrated from that time forward under the Catholic Church, the purpose of these feasts and special days, and you'll find this on the Catholic website itself, is to remember those who have died, whether they are officially recognized by the Church or not. It is a celebration of the communion of saints, which reminds us that the Church is not bound by space or time. That's the Catholic Church's position on the celebration of Halloween. They say it's been, quote, Christianized because that's a day that we make our prayers, commune with the saints, whether they've been Catholic or not. We make our prayer for the dead that they'll eventually attain to the place called heaven. Can I say that is heresy beyond unbelief? That, my friend, when God's people practice Halloween, you've got to understand it's falling under a Catholic influence that we have no business being a part of. Consider this with me, that after it took on its, quote, Christianized influence, Catholic influence, that there was something that began to be practiced known as souling. Has anybody ever heard of souling? Anybody? Nobody's heard of souling. You're going to learn something. My wife has, okay? And I didn't teach it to her, so somebody's taught her something. Souling was that form of trick-or-treating that they took from the Druids. You remember the Druids would walk around dressed up, singing and dancing in the street, going house to house, demanding offerings, demanding a treat, demanding an offering to the God So and the Lord of Death, so that the evil spirits would not curse that home, would not trick that home. When the Catholic Church got a hold of this, they said, well, that's too intense. And so what they began to practice was known as souling. Souling would be where the beggar boys and girls would dress up and they would go house to house. They would knock on doors. They would ask for food. In exchange, the beggar children would make prayers for their dead loved ones that had left. It was known as souling. They would make prayers for them and they would eventually attain to heaven. Can I say that sounds a lot like and has been practiced since the year 835 A.D. has been practiced as a Catholic influence upon Halloween. Let me deal with this. I've got a Haitian. I hope I ain't boring you. Okay. The Celtic roots, the Catholic influence, we're talking about the origination of Halloween, but notice its commercialized emphasis. Only second to Christmas is Halloween, is the celebration, the, quote, holiday Halloween in America. In fact, worldwide, over $8 billion will be spent on candy, costumes, and parties in celebration of Halloween. One thing is interesting to understand is that Halloween in America, in its origination, you say, preacher, I ain't Celtic, I ain't a Druid, I don't know nothing about any of that, I'm not Catholic, I'm a Christian. All it is to me and my family is just dressing up like a cowboy or an Indian, and we ain't even got to argue about dressing up like witches and goons and goblins and vampires. If you got half a spiritual brain in your head, you know that's wrong. Okay? The Bible said, don't even suffer a witch to live. That's what God said. God said, don't let a witch live. And he gets in all sorts of sorceries and different things that are in connection, things that our generation is infatuated with around the Halloween season. One thing is interesting is that not only second most amount of money is spent on this holiday right behind Christmas at $8 billion a year, but you got to understand that it was not even practiced in America at all until the year 1845. You remember in the Celtic lands, the Gaelic nations, the Irish potato famine sent many immigrants to America that year, and they brought with them this practice of Halloween, how the Druids practiced it and how the Catholic Church had influenced them to practice it, and they brought it with them. And our forefathers said, we ain't practicing that. That's wicked. Your American forefathers said, we're not doing that. That's a very wicked thing. So how did we get the place from 1845 to where we are in 2014? Here's what you find. It was not celebrated in America until 1845. In fact, it was banned by our forefathers. It was not widely practiced and accepted until the 1930s and 1940s, when there was a rise of paganism that began to grip America, and these Celtic people began to have influence in America. They slowly began to introduce it. In fact, a lot of the shows that some of y'all are familiar with from the 1930s and 40s began to promote it on television and began to talk about trick-or-treat and dressing up and giving candy. And in fact, even in the 1930s and 40s, there were children who were trying to go out and participate in it, and the adults had no idea what it was. They were offended that these kids were showing up begging for candy and begging for food on their doorstep, and it wasn't received at all. In fact, in 1948, I believe it was 1948 or 1958, the Madison Square Boys Club marched in a parade, and they protested it by saying, American boys are not beggars. It was in 1948, they were protesting the celebration of Halloween as not only just being wrong religiously, but that we was teaching a generation to be beggars like somebody owed them something. Ain't we come a long way? Amen. And in the 1930s and 40s, things got so out of hand that when people were not receiving these children and giving them what they was asking for, the treats they were asking for, when they would close the door, the children would then begin to vandalize at home. Sounds a lot like what was being practiced 2,000 years ago by the Druids, who said, if you don't give us our offering to the Lord of Death, we're going to bring great harm to your household. And that wasn't 2,000 years ago. That was less than 100 years ago in the country that we love and hold dear in our heart. $8 billion spent on parties, costumes, and candy. Among those, the two most sold costumes in America, witches and Dracula. You say, that's just fairy tale. No, witches are real. The Bible talked about them, and God said don't have anything to do with them. And witches ain't always green-painted, pointy hat, and a broomstick. In fact, if you'll do studies on witches, you'll find they're some of the most wicked people in America, given to all sorts of immorality and sorcery. And God said don't suffer them to live. If he said don't suffer them to live, I doubt he wants us trying to imitate them. Can I get a witness? Dracula. What about Dracula? Everybody thinks Dracula is just some fairy tale, and the way that he's presented in our generation, he is. But do you understand that Dracula came and was invented and was promoted from a real life leader known as Vlad the Impaler? Vlad the Impaler was a very wicked man. He's a bloodthirsty man that some have estimated killed over 1 million people underneath his rule and reign. If he didn't like you, he would drive a stake literally through you. There are things that I can't even talk about that Vlad the Impaler committed, crimes against those that he ruled and reigned over, that is documented historically, wicked, wicked, wicked things. He would bring whole families in and imprison them. He would take their babies, roast them on a fire, make the mothers eat them, make the fathers watch as the mothers ate them, and then roast the wives and make the husbands eat them before he would impale them with stakes and bleed them out. That's where Dracula come from. I got news for you. Sam and John is not dressing up like such a wicked individual. You wouldn't let your youngins dress up like Hitler. Am I right? You wouldn't dress him up like Stalin. Vlad the Impaler makes Hitler look like a Sunday school teacher. Amen. Well, I can tell this is going over good. The origination. Lord, that's just the first point. Everybody okay? The association with Halloween. Let me just give this to you quickly. Not only the origination, but the association of Halloween. What is Halloween associated with? Well, consider this. It's association with the Church of Satan. And anybody, how many of y'all know when I say the name Anton LaVey? How many know that name? Hold your hand up. Just leave it there for Anton LaVey. Okay, that's not more than a handful of people. Anton LaVey is the founder of the Church of Satan in America. And Anton LaVey said this. He said that Halloween is among the three greatest days that a Satanist can celebrate. Right behind his birthday, and I can't even pronounce the other one. Some of y'all could help me with that. Walter Pogeis or something like that, and then Halloween, he said that is the most sacred day, that is one of the three most sacred days that a Satanist can observe and celebrate is October the 31st, the night Halloween. Here's what Blanche Barton, anybody familiar with the name Blanche Barton? Blanche Barton, she was a high priest. She was considered to be a priest in the Church of Satan. Listen to this. You say, it's just innocent. There's nothing behind it. Well, the Church of Satan is telling you there's more behind it than you and I realize. She said this. She said, Halloween is traditionally a time when the obscure portal into the realm of darkness, death, and the supernatural is thrown open. Demons and spirits have free reign for one night. She went on to say, it gives even the most mundane people the opportunity to taste wickedness for one night. They have a chance to dance with the devil. That's the position the Church of Satan takes, that Halloween is deeply spiritual, and that even people that are mundane and casual and not very outgoing in life, something happens in the celebration of Halloween. They began to do things they would not normally do as they give themselves to the celebration and festivities of this awful, awful celebration of Halloween. There are church members who celebrate Halloween that'll do things, say things, act certain ways on October 31st in their celebration of it they wouldn't dare do the rest of the year. The Church of Satan has an association with Halloween that they recognize it as the devil's day. We could talk about the Order of Wicca. It's associated with the Order of Wicca. How many of y'all are familiar with Wicca when I say that term? Wicca. Lord, help us. Y'all got to get more educated. Wicca is nothing more than the practice of witchcraft. It's the fastest growing religion, second fastest growing religion in America, second only to that of Islam. Wiccans are growing at a great rate, and they're some of the most wicked, anti-biblical people. Lord, have mercy, I got to hurry. Phil Phillips said this concerning the Order of Wicca and witchcraft and witches in connection with Halloween. He said, Halloween is a day witches celebrate above all other days. That ain't a Baptist preacher. Y'all listening? That ain't a Baptist preacher. That's what the devil's crowd is telling you and I about Halloween. Listen to this. Tom Sanguisette, He's a former Wiccan high priest. Here's what he said. Halloween is purely and absolutely evil. He said, and he went on to say, and there is nothing we have or will do that would make it acceptable to the Lord Jesus. But Jerry, that ain't me saying that. That is a former Wiccan high priest said, there is nothing good about it. It is absolutely wicked and evil, and there's nothing about what we do on Halloween that could ever be acceptable to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's not a saved man. We could talk about its association with the fear of violence and death. If you ain't caught anything I've said up to this point, let me just ask you a question, and I'm closing. I didn't even make it back to Scripture. When you think about Halloween, what comes first to your mind? You think about witches, zombies, death, fear, blood, torture. The first thing you think about is not candy. We was knocking doors yesterday. I didn't see anybody that had their house decorated in celebration of Halloween that had fluffy bunnies and birds for decorations for Halloween. You know what they had? Scary faces, ghosts, spiders. Ugh. Are you listening? It's associated with violence, the fear of violence and death. We talk about costumes. We could talk about Hollywood. When does Hollywood put their most gory, gross, bloody movies out? They put it out around the season of the celebration of Halloween. Why? Because that's what people think about when they think about Halloween. Listen to this. I read this as a statistic. A teacher in a public school surveyed her 9-year-olds in her class and say, how would you most like to celebrate Halloween? This is a documented story. You can find it on the internet. 80% of her 9-year-olds in her class said, we'd like to kill somebody. You say, preacher, it's innocent. There's nothing about it. There's a spirit about it that even when you walk in Walmart and you see the decor, when you come to somebody's house and see the decor, when you watch some of the things that are promoted as commercials for movies that are coming out, it is surrounded with violence and death. And we as God's children, according to Ephesians 5 and the scriptures we've read, I could give you the exhortation against Halloween is you were sometimes darkness, but now you're light. Walk as children of the light, amen, be filled with the fruit of the Spirit, which is in all truth and in all godliness and righteousness and truth, and how that, my friend, we're not to be partakers with the unfruitful works of darkness. You cannot, after you've heard the, let me just word it this way, you answer it. After what you've learned about the origination and the association and the exhortation from Scripture, can a child of God practice and celebrate Halloween without violating Ephesians 5, 8 through 11? It is impossible. Impossible. And we could go to all sorts of other Scriptures today and talk about a lot of different things. But Brother Gerald, everybody's, you got to come to it in your own mind, okay? You say, preacher, I've never heard nothing like this. Preacher, I've celebrated, me and my family and children or grandchildren, we celebrated it. Some of y'all maybe are older and you let your kids practice and you didn't really understand all. You ought to say, Lord, I'm sorry, I didn't know. Lord, I'm sorry, I didn't know, and I want to get it right. Some of you, maybe you got young children, you're going to have to sit down and say, look, I know we've done this in the past, but we can't do this anymore because of what's behind it. And I'm for, now listen, there's a lot of things I'm against just in general, being a Christian and a Bible believer. I ain't for shacking, all right? There's a lot of things I'm against as a child of God and a Bible believer. But as we're raising our children, it can't just be about you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. and bind a bunch of burdens. And we're not preaching this and teaching this today to take fun away from our children. We're teaching it today to understand there's something greater behind it, and the devil is getting glory out of something that our culture has accepted, whether they realize they're giving him glory or not. And he loves it. He loves it when Christians get involved in this. I'm convinced of that with all my heart. He loves it when we partake in the unfruitful works of darkness. He gets glory out of it. You may have to sit down with your children and say, we can't do this, but here's something we're going to do as an alternative that has nothing to do with the practices that go on in our day. And there's a lot of other things I could get into. We didn't even touch bobbing for apples. Amen. We didn't touch a lot of the things I could have said about the order of Wicca and Wiccans. There's some deep stuff that's going on in there. How it's affecting our children and the culture that we're living in. We better wake up, get our head out of the sand, and say, Lord, help me to be different and to live different these days. Father, we love you. Thank you for the day. Lord, our time's up. We got so much more we'd like to say. Lord, I pray that you would help us in this day. Lord, I pray for these that have heard and listened. Lord, those especially that have listened with an open mind, that maybe, Lord, there'll be a struggle in their heart about what to do in days to come. I pray that you give them courage and strength, and may, Father, they move forward and do what you tell them to do. Lord, it ain't just about a preacher telling them what to do. Lord, I pray they'd hear the voice of the Spirit of God upon it and, Lord, understand their responsibility in these days. Thank you for these that already come out. Bless the worship service, Lord, over the next little while. And, Lord, we'll thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, I'm done. Let's take about 5 minutes. All right. Musicians, in 5 minutes, get up here and be playing. 5 minutes, that means at 10:37, be up here playing. Choir, be making your way on, okay?